Hi, everyone. It's Elaine, and it is Thursday, February 4th, 2016. It's the PSS call at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays, and we are talking today about compassion. So going back to the people who have already started to join us on the call, let's start with check-ins. What's going on for everybody?
Well, I'll start.
Carolyn, you want to give us a start?
Carolyn, yeah. I want to share that I am riding the waves of raising my 16-year-old who got suspended from school yesterday, and I'm really proud of how I I'm really proud of how I handled it.
Good.
Didn't go into reactive mode. And so that feels really good.
Cool. Congratulations. In a strange way. So what do you attribute that to? What kept you from going into reaction mode?
Well, first of all, I was working an hour away, and so my husband actually went to the school. I had time to think about it and put it all into perspective. And it actually probably sounds a little worse than it is. It was sort of like being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think that basically they were teaching these kids a lesson. He wasn't caught with any illegal substances. It was sort of like guilty by association.
Yeah.
And but back to me, you know, I just was able to step back and go, okay, well, this is a learning experience, and you know, let's focus on what needs to happen, which is, you know, he's got a ton of homework that he has to finish.
Right.
And just talking about this and talking about future, and you know, he was able to talk about you know, from his perspective in a really mature way, so that also helped me.
So you had some time and some space, right? And
mm-hmm.
It sounds like he had a little revelation moment. So it brought him to a little moment of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
What else is behind your success? Like, what strategies did you pull other than sort of staying, like reclaiming the brain and consciously choosing to stay calm, which I hear? Anything else you feel like has sort of brought you to this moment?
Well, I've just been doing a lot of thinking and processing of, you know, my reactivity, and you know, I'm really making an effort to make a change.
Yeah.
And so I stepped up and made a change. So that feels really good.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I want you to see, is that you didn't just stay calm because you had an hour to drive. You've been doing this work. You've been consciously engaged. You've been thinking about how you're responding. I mean, you've been working for months to be able to handle it when life threw you a curveball. Right?
Exactly. Yes.
So I just want you to see the value of the work that you're doing, because you're using this sort of different approach, right? You began to shift your approach to parenting. You started using a more coach approach, and it gave you, like, it paid back in huge bukus of spades by being able to support him in his struggle instead of going to that fear place about you.
Exactly.
So, yay. Congratulations. That's a hard one.
thank you.
It really is. So a few other people have joined us. Let me do a quick check-in again just so I can get the roster up to date. Will you just let me know who else is here? I know Carolyn and Liz are here. Who else is here?
Jennifer from Kentucky.
It's just first name, one at a time. Sorry.
Patty from Georgia.
Jennifer from Kentucky.
Patty, is this your regular group?
No, this is my first time.
Oh, welcome. Okay, so is this going to be your group?
Well, you know, I've got a 12-year-old, so I'm thinking about listening on both younger and older.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to just write it down. Welcome. Let me write it down in another place. I'm just trying to catch up on the roster, and I need to know where to put you. So, okay. Patty, last name?
C-A-W-L-E-Y.
Holly, got it. And so this is Thursday at 2. Okay. So welcome, Patty. Who else is
Thank
here?
You.
I'm sorry.
Jennifer from Kentucky.
Jennifer Fountain?
Kentucky.
Yes, ma'am. And do I see Cheryl is here?
Yes, Cheryl from Virginia.
Hey.
Hi.
Who did I miss?
I just joined in. This is Eden from Washington.
Hey, Eden.
Hi.
And I feel like there's one more. Maybe I got it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, I got it. They like it when I get it right. They're so picky that way. Okay, so we were doing check-ins. And what I want to try something different this today, because I used it the other day and it worked really well. So I just want to get a sense of how it works and see what you guys think and if you like it better. Because we did a little check-in, so I want to go back actually to you, Carolyn. Based on that, what do you want to take aim on today? So you were celebrating your success and how you handled an unfortunate situation. Do you want to? Is that where you want to take aim, or is there something else?
I want to continue to build on that not being reactive muscle.
Great.
I don't know how to put that into one word.
Yeah.
I want to keep building on it because it's a emerging skill, as they say in the IEP land.
So here's what I want to offer you as we're going through and listening to other people check in and take aim. Because I want to come back to you, is to think about, because you just practiced it beautifully in a time that was not a repetitive experience, right? It was a one-time event. So think about when do you tend to get triggered on a more regular basis, like in daily life, and see if you can come up with a specific time that you could really work on building that muscle, okay?
Okay.
Okay, who else would like to check in and take aim? Do I need to call on people? Because it's what would be helpful for you guys?
This is Eden. I'll go.
So
am I supposed to, since I've drafted lights, are we saying what we're celebrating, or do we already do that part?
Yeah, now what's your check-in, and where do you want to take aim today?
Okay, so, I missed the call last week. We're just really working on, the last time we met, we really talked about sort of independence, and so I've really been working on that, and then as a family, we're sort of working on sort of eating better and taking care of ourselves better.
Right.
And based
so what do you want
on to
celebrate?
That, let's see, what do I want to celebrate? That we've really sort of reduced, I've succeeded in really reducing the amount of wine and cocktails that we are having as a family and learning to play board games and do other things than sitting around and having a couple drinks.
And I assume you're talking about you and your partner and not your children.
Yes, not my child, that's right.
Okay, got it. And what do you want to take aim on today?
But I think I really want to work on, and this probably isn't specific enough, but I really want to work on sort of exercising the muscle of fostering independence with Connor and avoiding my impulse to sort of swoop in and take control.
Okay. So is there a time that you see yourself doing it more often, or a specific time where you know I need to stop doing that?
I think with regards to sort of his schoolwork and the things he needs to get done, I want to tell him exactly what to do and what time to do it so that I know that it's done, and I feel like I need to sort of let him sort of manage his own time a little bit more.
So I love that. So I hear three things in there. I hear what needs to be done, when to do it, and time management for how long it takes. Right. So of those three things, is there one area you want to focus on, let it go of first?
I guess the sort of what to do, have me be doing less of sort of aggregating all that information and having him doing more of that independently.
Okay. So where you want to take aim on letting go of sort of managing what work needs to be done.
Yeah.
Great. My challenge to you before you leave today, and we may or may not approach it in the conversation today, but is when you get off this call, is to make sure you commit to yourself about what conversation you're going to have with him to make sure you pass the baton to him.
Okay.
Okay. The biggest mistake we make in a situation like this is to decide, okay, I'm going to let go and let him do it, and we forget to tell him.
Yes. And
right.
For me, the challenge is figuring out how to, like, have that conversation with him, let go, but then how is there some accountability in there?
Right. Well, and that's
what my role as a parent should be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Who else? Liz, what about you?
Hi. Well, I'm just going on an interesting journey, finding a little bit about my brain. Just all this learning has really kind of made me realize that I've probably got ADD, and seeing actually how my lack of focus or my brain, how that works and how it's interfering with me actually figuring out how to make this work. So,
yeah.
But it's kind of interesting. So I'm going to have a call with Jeremy next week about that. But in terms of Kate, she's just gone back to school for after the summer, and she's gone back on a reduced workload, which is really good. So
yeah,
we're really really happy about that. Initially, just to see how she goes with transitioning back into school after being out for 6 months. And for my challenge or my area to take aim is to, it's all very kind of broad really, it's trying to be, because she's older, trying to be supportive in what she's doing at school, but without trying to, come on, do your homework, she'll be doing something else, and I want her to succeed, but I want to let go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's my challenge. Yeah.
Yep. So let me tell you what I'm hearing. Uh-oh, I'm hearing an echo. Does anybody else hear that?
Yes, I do.
I hear two things. One, I hear you celebrating that you're sort of figuring out that you probably have some issues of your own that you want to deal with, and taking action on that by setting up a sanity session with Jeremy and figuring out what kind of additional support you might need. So, yay to that, right? And then in terms of your daughter, what I'm hearing is it's sort of more generally that you want to empower her to take ownership of her schoolwork without nagging her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So is there a particular way or time that you tend to step in when she probably already has it?
Sorry, say that again?
There's sort of two places to look. One is to look at, is this about you pulling back or letting go of something? The other place to look is this about having a conversation with her about how she wants to manage it and how she wants you to be with her?
That sounds really good, that second one.
Okay. So where I hear you then taking aim is really negotiating with her around increasing her independence and you stepping back.
Right.
Does that resonate?
This is the thing, I don't know if she's there yet. Like, you know, this whole, yes, she's 18, but...
So it sounds like you're in a place of the place to take aim is to foster her independence in schoolwork. And it sounds like you're in an education place. So step two is collecting information and that you've got some information to collect in terms of where she feels like she is, what she feels like she needs, what she wants, what she feels like she's ready for.
Yeah.
Does that resonate?
Yeah.
So I think it's okay to take aim generally on fostering her independence because you're not ready yet to get more specific about what to do because you got some information to collect.
Okay.
We actually had a situation in the call the other day where by the time we finished having a conversation about it, we went back and took aim on something else. Because the first place we took aim and collected some information, we realized there was another issue that needed to be addressed first. So we actually went back through the model. So what I'm hearing is, for now, take aim on fostering her independence in schoolwork.
I mean, this morning, she was up really late last night. We're trying to encourage as much as you can to go to bed to look after herself, but you know that didn't happen. So she slept in this morning and then woke up with this terrible period pains, and I just would not let her not go to school.
Yeah.
But I said, no, you have to get up and go to school. Everybody, you know, every woman has their periods. Everyone has to deal with period pain. You have to get up. So for me, in a way, it sounds a bit opposite to being compassionate, but she got up, she got ready, she still had a sore stomach, and she went to school. And so in a way, it was like I was stepping in, but she's gone happily to school, which I think is better. Like she's at school, she's being engaged instead of having this rescuing compassion, like, oh, you've got a full
got
plate.
It.
You're not going
so,
to
and that, that
so
ties
to
a
me,
great
it was
to like, what we're going to talk about today about compassion. That's perfect. Because it's not about rescuing her. It's about helping her do what she needs to be to
what
function
needs,
independently
needs,
as a student.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. Who else? We have a few more people.
I'll go, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. It's been a while since I've been checking in. I have stepped way back and let Kyle pretty much handle his schoolwork himself this year. But and I think the point person that he has at school is not as engaged as the one in previous years. And so now we find ourselves where he is failing most of his classes. And I am finding myself, you know, contacting teachers this week and writing emails to try to kind of find out from them what is going on, because I'm not getting a lot of information from my son.
So I want to focus you to, so where do you want to take aim?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's just kind of figuring out what kind of scaffolding he needs, or if it's just kind of checking myself and making sure that I'm not rushing in too much to take over.
Well, I think there's a difference between rushing in and advocating, and it sounds like he's at a place where he needs some advocacy. And so what I'm hearing is that you really want to focus on how do you best manage his performance at school right now.
Right.
Because he doesn't need to fail out of everything.
No, this is his junior year of high school. He certainly does not. And I also find myself with him, like, calling up yesterday from school saying that he has, ocular migraines and regular headaches. And so I took him out and woke up this morning, and he's dizzy and stuff like that. So I'm trying to have some compassion.
Right.
And yet trying to discern at the same time what is necessary for me to do. You know, like
with a
headache, you know, when they don't have a fever, when they're not throwing up,
I'm
it's really hard to say.
In the interest of time, I want to stop you. I want to try to keep us focused on the situation, if that's okay, just because there are a number of people on the call today.
Absolutely.
And I'll make sure we get through. So the place to focus is like, how do you figure out when to step in and when to step back in terms of helping him manage his performance at school?
Got it.
Does that sound accurate?
Yes.
And it's hard to say when you get migraines whether we're dealing with a stress situation or an external, you know, it's like it's really hard to say. So
right.
There's a lot of pieces to it. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Who else? Cheryl, what about you?
Well, I don't have too much issue with my daughter at the moment. I think she's doing really well in school academically, but I think she's had a big break with her friends. And, you know, I've always been worried about her having friends, but she's not talking, and she said a little something to me the other day, and then she said, but you can't bring it up again. So I'm just waiting to, you know, till she's willing to talk. I don't know.
That's so frustrating. So is this about how do you sort of self-manage knowing something's going on, or is it about how do you get her to talk to you?
Well, you mean her manage? Let her manage it?
Well, is this about you sort of stepping back, or is this about you figuring out how do I get her to communicate with me about what's going on?
Oh, well, I think I would like to, I would like for her to talk to me a little bit more about it. I mean, I don't feel too worried. I'm not sure why.
Well, so, I mean, the question I always ask is, what's the change you want to see? What's the change you're trying to achieve?
Well, I guess I wouldn't mind, actually, if she changed her group of friends. So maybe that's the change I'd like to see.
Is to work with her on some social issues.
Yeah, or yes.
Okay. So the start would then probably be to get her to have some communication with her about what's happening socially.
Right.
Okay. So let's just start right there with communication with Jenna about social issues.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, she made it pretty clear, I guess, that she doesn't want me to bring it up or, like, you know.
All right. And that maybe you honor that, and maybe we find an access point for you to be able to trigger the conversation.
Right. We're going shopping tomorrow because there's no school, so I'm hoping that maybe she'll open up a little more since we'll be together for, you know, several hours.
Great. Good. All right. And today's conversation may give you some foundation for that as well. Okay, who have I missed? Is there Joe here? Is there a Joe here? Who's here?
Hi, it's Lisa. It's Lisa, but it shows up as Joe. It's Lisa from New Jersey. How are you?
I'm trying to figure out, like, do I have a voyeur? Do I?
Yeah. And I'm not usually on this call, so I'm in and out.
What call are you usually on, Lisa?
Sometimes I go on the Wednesday call, and then I do a lot of, you know, on-demand call listening.
That's cool. I just need to find you on the roster. So, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I need.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Probably the Wednesday call is where I'd be.
Okay, do you want to take aim?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of things to take aim at. I know you're trying to get us to focus on
one
thing.
Yeah.
I know. The one thing I would like to choose is to have my son hate school less than he does. And that's despite, like, recent you know, quite a bit of scaffolding put into place in terms of school support, outside support with a tutor, a sport that he loves and he's doing well in, but it's still like the overriding cloud of hating school and not doing well in school. But we're getting there. I feel like we're getting there. We have a lot of hope behind all this scaffolding that's happening.
Tell us how old he is.
He's 15, sophomore.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that are going right, but the cloud still exists. And
So can I reframe the question? Because I totally get wanting him to help, to hate school less. But
yeah.
If you reframe in the positive.
Okay.
If you want him to hate
like
it less,
school
what do you
more.
Want him, but be more specific. What's one thing you can imagine him liking about school? Or is it maybe just like anything, just one
thing? I think
thing
just,
about
you know what, maybe it's like maybe have more of an acceptance of school as a reality. Like not liking it, but just accepting it, that it's part of his day.
Okay.
And, you know, all children of his age need to go to school, be educated, and kind
right.
of accepting that and moving
There's
on.
There's sort of a reason we parents do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got
like,
it.
It's just, yeah, maybe just like, you know, having, you know, I won't say a positive attitude about school, just kind of accepting what is and move forward with that, you know,
great.
Instead of hanging on to, you know, what the issues are with school. Let's look at the positive aspects of having an education.
Great. Okay, great. So
just a small thing.
But you know what? I love that because it's like that is a realistic expectation.
Yeah.
Right? And we have such a tendency to go to this place that's just not real.
Yeah.
And so he may not be a kid who's going to like school anytime soon, or certainly not till he gets to something that's about what he wants to do.
Yes, and I have accepted that, and I think that's a positive. I've relaxed so much, like, by listening to the calls and being a part of
yeah.
the community. That has allowed me really to just kind of reframe everything and kind of accept
right.
what is, but also support and, you know, guide where necessary. It's not always easy, but
yeah.
trying to be a little more
okay.
relaxed.
So we're
going to
take aim on helping him have more of an acceptance of school as a reality.
Right.
Great. Love that. Okay. And I'm aware that we're spending a lot of time on taking aim today, which is fine because often that's, you know, the biggest aha for most people. But I do want to use our time well and get to our topic today. So who have I missed who has not yet taken aim? I know I've got Lisa, Eden, Cheryl, Patty. I'm not sure I've gotten you yet, have I?
No, you don't.
Okay. Tell it. And how old is your kid? You said 12?
Right. I actually have 12-year-old triplets.
Woo-hoo!
So it's a circus around here, which is all good.
Yep.
But and it's two girls and a boy, and they all. My son was diagnosed with ADHD when he was in second grade, so he was what about maybe seven, eight. My other daughter is going to actually be tested tomorrow because we were wondering if there's some learning.
Yep.
issues there. She's flipping stuff and that. And then my other daughter does suffer from some anxiety from time to time. So we've gone out, they've always had support to address that. And, you know, sometimes they're doing just great. And then you have that pitfall where, you know, oh my gosh, we're going to go back and kind of like regroup and support them. But I guess
right.
the biggest aim that I want to take in now, my biggest thing is my one daughter who's going to be tested tomorrow, her biggest hurdle is when she has to do that homework at night, and she can come home and she'll say, you know, I try to be as hands off as I possibly can and tell her, okay, go to your agenda, go to the online school calendar that shows you everything that's due.
Patty, I'm going to stop you for a minute and I'm going to direct
yeah.
you. Okay. So
sure.
What's the change you want to see?
I want to see my daughter time manage better.
Improve time management in terms of
roughly assessing how much time it takes for her to do her work.
Is this the daughter with the suspected LD?
Yep.
Okay, so you want her to work faster?
Faster would be good, yeah. Also, though, she might say, oh, I'll be able to get that done in half an hour. And no, that's
okay.
more like an hour and a half. You know what
so
I mean?
So it's time estimation.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, and I want you to hear, because that's it's a big, I mean, we don't want to put the on them to try harder or work faster, because that may not be a reasonable expectation, right?
Right.
But when you get more specific and you say, okay, I want to help her learn to estimate her time more effectively, that's a whole different discussion, because that's doable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Okay. So we're going to focus on improving time estimation. Cool. All right. Did we get everybody? I think we did. I love it when that happens. Okay. So I want to move into the topic, and fortunately today's topic is not a long one, so I'm not going to talk for very long, I promise. But I think it's an important one. It's one that comes up all the time. It's come up in the conversation already multiple times today. And it's really all about using compassion. But compassion, you know, it's sort of a buzzword, but it's not just about being kind, right? Compassion is about getting ourselves and our kids, looking at the world through our kids' lens, the lens of our kids' eyes. It's about seeing the world from their view. And really understanding and accepting that reality. Sort of like you were saying, you know, part of the reality is school is just a reality. Well, part of the reality is that their brains are neurologically wired differently. And for us to accept that, to understand that, to come from a place that really supports that, gives them a better access to the kind of supports that they need. So one of the things we're talking about is this issue of sort of getting in our kids' eyes, looking at the world through their lens, and that's a part of compassion. Another part of compassion is about, we talked about the other day, is about really being kind to ourselves, and that's come up a few times today. It's like not just being good and kind to them, but being generous and understanding that this is frustrating for them and this is frustrating for us. And so, you know, treating everyone with some kid gloves and some kindness. When I defined compassion in the workbook, I said compassion is the expression of sympathetic concern for another's difficulties. And so this is about expressing concern in a way that's useful and helpful for our kids. So, you know, one of you was saying the best compassion for you this morning, Liz, was not to let your daughter sleep in, but was to help her rouse herself to get up and go to school when it was hard for her. Right? So compassion isn't always just sort of rolling over or giving in. It's about understanding that it's hard and helping them accomplish what they need to accomplish. Right? So it's recognizing, I mean, you got that it was hard for her and that it's something she needs to learn to push through, but you weren't, I'm guessing, yelling and screaming at her. You were empowering her and empowering her, and ideally.
Yeah.
That's the goal here, right? So how we approach their challenges sets the tone for how they're going to learn to manage themselves. So if you had been yelling and screaming at her, then she will grow up to yell and scream at herself in her own head, right? Whereas if you come and you say, okay, you just got to rise to the occasion, you got to figure out how to do this, how can I support you? As she gets older, that compassion will teach her to be more patient with herself, to allow her to pick herself up when she's having days where it's hard to get yourself up and get going, right? And we know those are in her future.
Yeah.
That's life, right? So that's sort of, I'm going to stop there because I think what's more interesting about the conversation about compassion is how we use it, how it's easy, how it's hard, and how we can use it to get the results we're looking for. So I'm going to stop there. What's coming up for people in this conversation about compassion? What are you noticing that's easy or hard about it or anything else?
This is Patty. I think the hardest part is biting your tongue and your own impulse to start telling them everything that they need to be doing. Therefore, not you know, then you come across as the pushy mom who is, you know, yelling at me, even though you might not necessarily be yelling, but
they hear yelling in all sorts of ways.
Exactly.
Because you're new, can I have a coaching moment with you?
Sure.
So I want you to share what you're sharing again, but instead of saying you, own it and say I.
Sure.
Okay. Because I hear you mm-hmm. saying that you're you struggle with. So share it again.
That I, that I talk to her, and it's a matter of how I talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult. I want to just say, stop, this is what you need to do. And I don't want to do that. I want to say, so, what do you think? And that's not always easy.
Yeah. So, and what I'm hearing is sometimes it's hard to have compassion when you're sort of impatient.
Right.
Like
yeah.
impatience can get in the way because you want it to get done, right? Let's get this done.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone
Anybody else have that experience?
Mm. Yes. I think we're a lot of times focused on the end result. The end result is get to school. But there's a lot of steps to get to school in the whole getting up process. So I think
yep.
in the focus on the end result, you kind of it's hard to be compassionate sometimes because the clock is ticking. So you know sometimes we're you know reacting to just time constraints, and we
right.
project that onto the kids and not in always in productive ways. So it doesn't
right.
help things go any faster.
Right, and often when we do that, it actually slows it down.
Yes.
Right.
Because it clogs their brain, probably.
I was reading Jerry Schultz's book recently it's called Nowhere to Hide. It's a great book if you guys haven't read it. It's on the site. If you've got any kids with anxiety and ADHD, it's brilliant. And you can get to it from the website. And he talks exactly about that, about the very problems that we're trying to address are the problems that are made worse by their anxiety. So they're going to actually slow down, process more slowly, think less clearly when they feel stressed. So it can be hard to be compassionate when you're on a deadline, when there's something you're trying to achieve, when you're trying to get it done, right? When else is it hard to be compassionate?
I think it's hard to just sort of listen and sit with the sort of frustration and the unhappiness. It's always been my temptation to be like, well, at least, you know, there's this positive or that positive, and it just makes it so much worse for him. But it's really hard for me to force myself to not do that.
Yeah. So it's hard to be with their pain and discomfort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really is. What else?
Well, this is Carolyn. All this is so great. I want to just share that the night before my kid got suspended, we had this amazing conversation where he was telling me about that it's stressful at school, but he couldn't really tell me exactly what was stressful at school. And rather than trying to dig and, you know, get to the bottom of it, I found myself just listening and letting him tell me what he wanted to tell me, which is really different for me. I tend to be a processor and then the next day, or yesterday, we had a conversation, and it was him telling me exactly what happened at school. And I guess the compassionate part for me was, instead of trying to figure out the sequence of events, which can sometimes be my style, I just let him tell me because I realized that he was processing in his own way.
Yeah.
What he heard from the social worker, and he was processing in his own way. And I can only connect up the dots that the stressor at school is peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that came up earlier this week that I'll share with you is that sometimes they don't know And the compassion comes from listening, just like you're saying, and letting them process. And sometimes when they don't know, it's the compassion is to offer them the solution, not the solution, but the understanding. Sometimes it's helpful to say, so it sounds like you're really, there's a lot of peer pressure, because they don't know exactly what it is and they can't name it. So sometimes what's really the kindest to do for our kids is to dare to know for them what they haven't been able to figure out for themselves, but you can see clearly. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But to offer it to them and let them say yes or no, not to say you're feeling peer pressure, right? But to be able to say, it sounds like this, is that what it feels like to you? Because sometimes, I mean, we forget that they're not emotionally fully developed. So they may get the concept of peer pressure, but they may not have ever really experienced it to know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then, you know, I'm not caretaking for him to figure it out, and he has the opportunity to figure it out. And maybe it's not as fast or you know, maybe it's not the way I would figure it out, but that doesn't help him if I rescue him.
Yeah. So this word rescue has come up a few times today, and it really strikes me as a great concept to come up in the context of compassion, because compassion is not about rescuing, right? It's about meeting them where they are, and ideally, as they get older, helping them figure out how they're going to take their next steps, right? It's not about saying, okay, here's the path. Sometimes we've got to rescue them, right? Sometimes we've got to walk them out of that jungle. But as they get older, and you know, this call is parents of older kids, we want to make sure that we are meeting them where they are and helping them figure out what the path is through the jungle and being with them and understanding that it's a jungle in there. And that's where the compassion comes in so profoundly.
That's good.
Diana, I have a comment. Another, this is Lisa. It's very
and this
difficult.
Is Elaine, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
It was just
sorry
funny. I just had to say it.
Oh,
go ahead,
sorry.
Lisa.
So, Elaine, sorry about that. It would probably be easier if we had video or something, right?
I know. We tried that once. The technology was more than most people wanted to do.
Yeah. It's hard to show compassion and when a child is feeling flooded and they are lashing out at you.
Yeah.
You know that they're not doing it against you, but you're gearing up ready to kind of defend yourself. And that is a point where it's very hard to show compassion. You really have to just, you know, keep it in check. And I think if you're, you know, the more knowledge you gain, I think the easier it is to recognize that that's what's happening versus like taking things personally. But sometimes it's just hard to not react. And I think that's when it's hard to show compassion. When you feel like offended or hurt yourself and then you're trying to show compassion, that's tough.
Right.
But I think if you know where the child's coming from, then it's easier to do
that. This was the whole conversation in an earlier class this week because it was a bunch of parents of younger kids, so there was lots of conversation about kids lashing out and being mean and that kind of thing. And what really struck me, what we got to and what you're speaking to, is that there's when a kid starts reacting, you then have two layers of things going on because to be compassionate about. Because now it's not just whatever you were asking them to do or they were trying to do that they couldn't accomplish that they're frustrated about. But now they're frustrated about the fact that they can't do or follow through with whatever you're asking them to do. So you actually have to switch what you're being compassionate about, because now you have to be compassionate about the fact that they're upset, not the fact that they're upset because they can't do the homework. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to have kind of a self-awareness of how you're reacting to, you know, to recognize that in the moment of the heat.
Exactly,
you know?
And it's hard. And so we have this tendency to want to recoil and go, okay, you can't speak to me that way. You can't talk to me that way, right? When the truth is, the compassion lets us go, whoa, you're really upset about something. You're really scared or anxious or angry. And then it's no longer about what was happening before that moment, because once they're in a triggered state, everything shifts to what's happening then. How do we get them out of a triggered state, because they're not going to be rational, and something's going on for them. And the example I was using earlier was there's usually something under the reaction, I guess is what I'm saying. So the example was last year there was somebody on a call who was talking about having trouble getting his child hooked into a car seat. And when we finally sort of unearthed it, it wasn't really about the car seat. It was about the fact that they were rushing. And so it was the rushing that was triggering the child. And when he was able to address that, he was able to deal with getting her in a car seat. Right? And I know it's different for little kids than older kids.
Well, that could be getting out of the shower, you know, if you relate it to an older kid.
Exactly.
Like don't rush my shower.
Exactly. It's the worst thing you could do to a 15-year-old boy is get him out of the shower, right?
Exactly.
I know it happens with my son inevitably. As soon as they say, come on, we got to go, it's like I trigger a slowdown.
Oh, God, yes.
Right? Mm. And if I come from a compassionate place and I say, I know you hate it when I remind you, but I just want you to know that you said you wanted to be down by 7:20 and it's already 7:15, then that's his issue, not mine. It's no longer me pushing him.
I like that phrasing. I will have to use that.
Yeah, you said you wanted to be. Yeah, it's powerful.
Well, this is Cheryl. I sort of have the opposite thing with compassion, or I'm wondering if I'm showing too much compassion for my son. His teacher is going to file a honor code violation for him for plagiarism.
Right.
It was very difficult for him to rewrite this paper, and he cited the wording. So it's obvious that it's not his, but he didn't do it enough to say that it was, or to qualify to not be considered plagiarism. And she's like, I feel, coming down really hard on him about it, because she did say something to him in the rough draft and he was supposed to fix it. And he was really struggling. Like, I feel so much compassion for him, because I could see him. He would like put it down and he was like angry and stomping around, and then he'd go back to it, and like he was really struggling. And so he didn't do it all, and he just like, you know, left the big passage cited, but not the right
but
way.
But not indented properly, right?
Right. So
yeah.
she's going to give him an F, and then she's filing with the principal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm like, wow, you know.
So what do you think? That's a great example, Cheryl. What do you think his intention was?
He said to me, it was just so hard. I couldn't think of a better way of doing it. I think he just kind of.
Right.
Gave up, or
yep.
You know, he just turned it in anyway, and didn't realize he would get in that much trouble. Like, he
right.
thought he would get a ding in his grade, but
right.
And I don't know if that's because he's 15, and you know, half of the time teenagers don't know what you're talking about, even though you've told them 10 times.
Right. Well, and the other piece there is that he also didn't feel comfortable or didn't know how to ask for the help he needed. Because he didn't feel comfortable enough to go back to her and say, I don't understand how to change this. Right? And so there's a lesson for him in it, and it's very sad that the teacher's choosing to go honor code violation instead of actually teaching him something useful. Right? So I'm really sorry, and I'm with you. I have a lot of compassion for him, because it doesn't sound like his intention was to try to cheat.
No, it wasn't.
And I think that's the piece about intent, about compassion, is what's behind it. Like, are they really trying to be rude and disrespectful? Are they really trying to make everybody late and make everybody miserable? Like, or are they really struggling? And if they're really struggling with something, that deserves compassion and understanding, mm-hmm. and helping them learn how to manage and master that challenge. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, it seemed like he was being lazy, like he just kind of gave up. But then I do know he was really struggling. So
I was going to say, it sounds like you saw that he wasn't. Right. And
I saw
the, but he wasn't being lazy.
Right, right. Well, he did have a whole snow week, and he left it till the last 3 days before school, but still.
Right. Well, and he didn't. And so the place I would really look at for him on this is really about asking for help. Because she pointed out something for him to change. He didn't know how, and he never asked anybody to say, I can't help me figure out how to do this. And,
that's good.
And because
that's
he feels
point.
Like he should know, and kids do, they feel like they should know, and so there's this shame associated with asking for any kind of help.
Hmm.
And so sort of debunking that myth for them and helping them see everybody asks for help sometimes, and that's how we be successful. And when you're in the workplace, if you just don't do it and you do it wrong and you don't go and ask your boss, well, how do you want this? I'm having a hard time with this. It's gonna work against you.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go back, when I look back in the places that y'all are taking aim today, is there anyone that's feeling like this topic is really, really resonating for the issue that you took aim on?
This is Patty. Yes, I feel that knowing that when my child starts to get frustrated, the almost yelling of, but you need to help me because this is your job. You're supposed to help me. I think now I'm realizing that it's not so much a lashing out and being disrespectful so much as it is maybe sitting down and seeing what you're saying, trying to figure what is she feeling and what's going on inside. What's the underlying problem and frustration that she's going through?
Yeah, great.
Versus the words, you must help me.
Well, at least she's asking for help.
Yeah, that's a big step.
Well, and the other thing I would point you to, and I know that you're just joining PSS now, and we'll get back to it later in the year for you, is that's a great place for curiosity. Whenever they behave in a way that you just can't quite figure out what the heck's going on, get curious. You know,
okay.
Like what is going on for this kid? And curiosity is a great access point for compassion.
Okay.
Because when you get curious and that's when you ask the question, well, what's behind this child's behavior? What's behind this upset or this blow up or these tears? Because there's always
right.
something behind it.
Right, right.
Yep. So, So, Carolyn, can we come back to you for a minute on that whole issue of building on that sort of not being reactive?
Yes.
How does this play in for you?
Well, I was just going to chime in.
Okay.
You know, I can really relate to what Patty is saying. And I think that I'm realizing some of my triggers for becoming reactive are coming from my frustration about wanting to fix or change or even being frustrated that this is a challenge for my son to begin with. And so, you know,
right,
for
just
me,
just
having
take
that
a moment
compassion.
And say that again.
Okay. Well, I'm
going to
reframe
apply
it a little
to every
bit.
Single person on this call.
It's having compassion really for myself, as well as my son, that I can't fix. And even my frustration that this is that. You know, ADHD, anxiety, dyslexia is a challenge for my son to begin with.
Yep. He has to face this challenge and it stinks.
You know,
it does.
You know, sometimes when I read these things about, oh, it's a gift to have ADHD, I just want to throw things at whatever, whoever. I'm like, really? And I get where they're going with it, but And you know, I think there are gifts in there, but for me, that stepping back from being reactive is being compassionate and not allowing those underlying things to feed my reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Totally. And can everyone else on the call relate to what she just said?
Yeah.
Right. You need to detach
mm-hmm.
yourself really from, you know, just look at it objectively.
Well, and here's what I would add to not just detach yourself, but there's a part of us as parents that has to mourn the loss of the typical child we thought we were going to have so we can embrace the challenged child we do have. And as our kids get older and we get our head around it, somehow we think it's going to stop or it's going to stop hurting. And
it's more complicated.
I'm here to tell you, it just gets more complicated.
It does.
And that's it's not. I mean, I think that there are gifts to it. And I don't mean to say, you know, we're not mourning the child, but there is something that happens when these kids don't fulfill that you know sepia tinted image that we thought we were going to have when we had kids. And every time our kids come to a milestone, you hit it again. And I remember this so vividly with my oldest daughter when she didn't graduate from the high school where I thought, you know, where her cousin graduated, and I thought everybody she was going to graduate. And she graduated from another special school with 15 kids in a backyard, you know. But she graduated. But every time you hit a milestone, even when they're doing great, there's still a part of it that sort of smarts. Because you feel for this kid, and you know it's hard. And so I love what you're saying, Carolyn, about really remembering to be compassionate for yourself because it's hard to raise these complex kids.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So let's finish up today with the final four. So I want everybody to take a minute for yourselves and ask yourself sort of what were you focusing on in this call today? And what's your clarity? What's your aha or your takeaway from today? And then as you think about the place where you were taking aim, what's the commitment you want to make? What action do you want to commit to? And is there something that you want to do to set yourself up for success with that?
Well, you mean that just seems like so much with what we've been talking about.
It's a lot. It's been a great conversation, hasn't it?
Yes.
So, and you don't have to capture it all, but take a few minutes. I want to encourage everybody today, because it's been a really rich conversation, to take a few minutes, if you can, now, before you go back to your life and before you go back to the world, and capture a little bit of it, journal a little bit, write down, what were you thinking about? What's your aha? What do you want to do differently? And rather than going around and you know, taking the time for everybody to take aim, to share commitments, I really want you to commit something to yourself and take a few minutes with yourself. And then I'm going to encourage you, if you want, to go share it on the forum with each other, because I think that's a great place to use it, and sometimes we forget to use it effectively. But think about what does it mean to be compassionate? What does it mean to be compassionate for yourself? And what do you want to take away from today? And I'm going to leave you with that today, okay? Just acknowledge you all for an amazingly great conversation, for your commitment to yourselves, for being here, whether you haven't been here for a while or not, whether you've just joined the community. Your effort here, what you're doing, is making a difference, and you're feeling it in your lives. So go forth and love yourselves and capture some thoughts from today, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.